First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, aka Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The trial of Karen Reed continuing on another week of very interesting testimony as the prosecution wraps up its case in chief. We'll see more from the defense next week. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. It's been a little while since we've had a chance to talk about this. I was on vacation, so I'm curious. We've seen a lot of testimony. What's been standing out to you the last few weeks?
Well, a lot has stood out to me. Of course, very recently, we got to hear the all-important voicemails that were left after the crime and prior to the discovery of the body. So 53 calls, which I found very interesting in this small time frame. It just kind of shows a lot, I think, in terms of the kind of relationship they had more than anything. And of course, you hear those calls, and I think we see for the first time the personality, you know, the ability to be just that angry and that hostile and that hateful towards somebody that she was in a relationship with. So for me, that was very telling. But on the flip side, you know, some would say, well, geez, if she meant to murder somebody and thought they were dead, why in the world would she be making 53 calls? And I 100% agree with that. I think that she knew she hit him, but I don't think she thought he was dead.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to some of those calls. Here's a clip of one of them.
John, I'm down with your fucking kid. Nobody knows what the fuck you are, you fucking pervert.
And then...
Yes, 1 in the morning, I'm with your fucking niece and nephew. You fucking pervert. You're a fucking pervert.
So in her mind there, she is thinking, if we're to believe that she has no idea that John O'Keefe is dying in the snowbank at that moment in time, that he's out cheating on her at that moment. That's according to, you know, the voicemails, thinking he's out there doing that. It doesn't read to me like someone who knew that they even hit him, in my mind. And you think that she knew that she had hit him at that point?
Well, I say she knew she hit him because she calls her dad at 1 in the morning, mm-hmm. I think 2 different phone calls. And we know that he actually, and I think this is a huge mistake by the prosecution, by the way, not calling him as a witness, but he said on television, you know, she knew she reversed and hit something. So that's his words that he said his daughter told him. And she, of course, said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Yep.
And she, in a text message, said, I think I might have clipped him. And in her interview, she said, I think I could have incapacitated him. And in his drunkenness, he became unconscious, or words to that effect. So The problem is that hasn't been shown to the jury. All her admissions haven't been shown to the jury.
Is Lally just that incompetent? I mean, what is going on? If that's out there like that, why? Those are like key pieces to show that there was some consciousness, that there was a contact there with the vehicle that she was aware of.
It's so key. And they initially had the writer for the Globe, for the magazine that was scheduled to appear, and they canceled that. And I understand Gretchen Voss, I'm referring to, and I understand why. They're so worried about opening up cans of worms. Obviously, the father is going to be in her court and say some things that are probably exculpatory. You know, she's a wonderful girl, or, you know, John wears a cat, or whatever he's going to say. But I think the jury expects that. The important thing is she told him that.
Yeah.
And for them not to call, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me. And then the footage, my understanding is they had trouble getting the network, I believe it was ABC, to produce the entire segment, right? They clipped it down, but they need the entire segment, and there's some issue with that, which I don't understand. I've never seen anything like this where there's a subpoena for a document or a video, and then it's not produced. I don't understand that. The text message, that's to Aidan Carney. That's there for all to see. I don't understand why that's not being introduced. Why? If they lose the case, this will be like the white Bronco in the OJ case. All these admissions aren't entered.
I've been really just truly shocked by the case that Lally has put on, when there really does seem to exist pretty solid evidence. And it's not to say Karen Reed is a horrible person or anything like that. Look, you can be a wonderful person and make a really bad mistake and accidentally hitting your boyfriend and then being really drunk and going on and with your life and thinking, oh, everything's fine. That doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you a murderer, but it makes you conscious that something happened here. And that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of, because a man lost his life.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.